Now, while you might not want some targeted adverts, because this is a bit of a nuisance, what about your bank details? Would you want someone to know those? You might think, for instance, that your home internet's very secure, but have you been connecting to Wi-Fi lately? And if so, well, you might want to take extra care to look at exactly who you are connecting to. James Lyon is the head of the security division at Sophos, which is a digital security company, and he's been very busy looking at the Wi-Fi habits of the public, haven't you, James?
Oh, yes, and they are rather concerning, I have to say. We're all a bit addicted to Wi-Fi, unfortunately.
Tell us about this project that you ran, because you're holding some gadgetry, and that's the thing with the giant aerial. I presume that's a little mobile hotspot.
Yeah, that's correct. So there's a myriad of different attacks that occur on wireless networks, but the one that we were most interested in was really people's natural behaviours, their level of trust when just connecting to a wireless network. So we set up 8 or 9 different wireless networks, and for a period of 2 hours, walked around offering people free Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi where they had to register, and in some cases, Wi-Fi where they had to pay.
Where?
Now, this was actually in New York City, and I have to say my most active Wi-fishing area, as we've dubbed it, was the airport. It seems like people get off planes and are very hungry for wireless to check their emails. And in just under 2 hours, we were able to snare 109 people into handing over their credit card details to a company that had as much trust as, well, anyone on the internet. I mean, I bought the logo from a clip art site for about $5. The domain name cost another 15. And I bought an SSL certificate, which gives you that little padlock that we're all trained to trust. That was about $50, so a high trust operation.
So let's just explain what you mean by this. You went to the airport or some places around New York. You set up, well, like a Wi-Fi offering. Connect to me, I'm offering you Wi-Fi. And it would allow people to connect to it to gain internet access, and it even offered them a trustworthy-looking padlock so they thought they were doing secure internet browsing.
That's perfectly correct. And we even actually went to the trouble of putting up an end-user license agreement. You know, when you go to a coffee shop and it pops up and says, would you like to get online? You've got that little agreement you have to scroll down. And what was really fun was in the agreement on paragraph 2, it says, you know, this is a Sophos research project. You agree we can monitor your system entirely, log all of your data, and that we may contact you in the future to figure out why you did something so stupid. And no one reads it because the average time to click agree was 1.3 seconds.
So they all agreed and they connected to your hotspot. And invisibly to them, what, you were sitting there like the man in the middle, listening or effectively eavesdropping on everything that they did online?
Well, exactly. So here's the thing. When you connect to a wireless network, you hand over authority of where your computer is going to go on the internet to that network. In my case, the malicious attacker. So if you ask for a resource, you know, like that nice news page we were just looking at, it's very easy for me to redirect you off to a nasty copy that asks for information or maybe delivers some nasty malicious code that gives me more access to your computer. And there are some mitigating technologies and practices to this, but less than 1% of the people connecting actually took those.
Didn't you do something like call it Do Not Connect to Me or something? And people even didn't fall for that. They still connected to it.
Yeah, that was one of my personal favourites. Get Online and Free Public Wi-Fi were very popular. But in capitals, Do Not Connect saw 27 visitors. And I envisage these people sitting in coffee shops going, challenge accepted.
And when they did connect, what did they do?
So a mass of different things. Social media updates were, of course, very popular. We did see a little bit of internet banking. The good news is most of that was actually encrypted by default, so we couldn't poke inside it. There are a few kind of nastier techniques we could have used, but we're obviously doing this ethically. Of course, all the other websites they visited, and there was lots of, in some cases, very strange web browsing. I'm looking forward to releasing that list at some point.
Is this in New York or elsewhere?
This was in New York. Although I have to say, we have done a series of Wi-Fi experiments in other locations, and so far Las Vegas has been the one that's caused the most sleepless nights. And when you go through that list, of course, any of those sites could be, unencrypted sites could be targeted. And once you've been compromised, your banking details are no longer safe. So it only takes one kind of weak point in the chain to get you infected.
In other words, people connect trusting your connection, but you could be inserting data onto their computer that then compromises their computer so that next time they do online banking, regardless of whether it's got a secure connection to the bank, it's still sending you all the data in the meantime.
Precisely. And the nasty bit of this experiment that would have been trivial to do, but we stopped short of for ethics purposes, was to download that malicious code, at which point you can not only access internet banking, you can access the webcam, you can record from the microphone, and consider, I mean, there were a large number of laptops. There are smartphones there too. I mean, there are over 1.6 million malicious applications for Android devices now. And, you know, I challenge listeners to think about a time where they don't have their phone next to them. Now they're making waterproof devices. That's getting even slimmer. And how compromising that could be to you. I mean, we are handing over the keys to our physical lives to cyber criminals in the digital world.
And you can just plant data onto these devices and then basically you own them.
Well, the good news is if you follow some fairly simple practices, it makes it a lot harder for cyber criminals. As I say, unfortunately, most people not doing that. But little things like keeping your software up to date, making sure you update your browser, you know, running good endpoint security controls. Although best of all, if you're out and about, don't connect to a wireless network unless you really know who it belongs to. Maybe consider using data on your phone, which is much, much harder to intercept.
You could easily envisage a scenario where people would come to an event like this one, where they see big brands knocking around. So you could be perched on the edge of a big brand's tent or something, and you could issue a Wi-Fi hotspot so people think, oh, that belongs to that big brand. They're trustworthy. And in fact, it's you.
Yeah, I mean, the only indicator of trust you have when you first connect to a wireless network is the name. And you can set that to anything you want. Now, for legal reasons, I mean, lawyers spoiling all my fun, I wasn't allowed to steal other people's brands. Apparently, that's, you know, passing off or something like that. And so I was only able to use these generic names. But 2,000 people connected, 500 of them just over handed over email addresses and passwords, 109 credit cards. Imagine if I was to park up in a coffee shop or outside an enterprise and set up a network with the same name as their employee network. How many people could potentially have been snared? Scary stuff. We've got way too used to this protocol of connecting to any wireless network that professes to offer free Wi-Fi based on some text that anyone can enter.
We've got a couple of minutes left, so let's just explore one other thing, which is getting to be big business. This is the Internet of Things. Mm. Now, you're saying, let's keep our devices all up to date, but we're all dependent on third-party devices, which really probably have quite shoddy security, so you can't really do that.
Yeah, that's been another one of my recent research projects, another one with lots of lawyers involved telling me what I shouldn't do. I've been following the rules. So actually, I've got a little case here with me, which is packed with various Internet of Things devices. So I went onto Amazon and we bought about £5,000 worth of CCTV cameras, various other bits and pieces, and went through them to find out how many of them had critical security vulnerabilities. Long story short, all of them did, except for one, which actually was so poorly implemented we couldn't access it, which is what I like to call security through, well, essentially obscurity and unintelligence.
So I suppose if you buy something that's a reasonable price, there might be some security in the cost. Thank you very much. That's James Lyne. He is from Sophos, the online security company. So the bottom line is, do not connect to a Wi-Fi hotspot if you don't know who's providing it. I think that's probably the best advice, isn't it, James? Thank you very much. Kat?
Thank you to all of our guests this week. There's Eben Upton, Sam Aaron, Gary Atkinson, Tristan Hughes, Simon Vance Kalina, Lydia Drumright, and Richard Mortier. Thanks also to Georgia Mills for production. Next week, join us when we'll be investigating the mysterious Millennium Maths problem. Please do join us.
The Naked Scientist comes to you from Cambridge University and it's supported by the STFC, the EPSLC, and Rolls-Royce. I'm Chris Smith, and thank you very much for listening. Goodbye!